In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode from the Podcast Tolls. Here on April 7th, 2016, this is the official podcast from the CowboyTolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for From the Cowboy Tolls, and joining me is fellow writer for From the Cowboy Tolls and a very angry person, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
I'm not an angry person.
You are an angry
person. Like, in general. Like, I'm frustrated because the Astro... You know, we talked about this on the last one where you... The last intro that you had to get rid of because you started dropping F-bombs.
I said,
so who's the angry person?
I said
here?
One bad word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're mad because, like, the Mavericks and the Rockets are about to play, and I'm going to be purposely taking as much time as I want.
You're taking a long time right now.
Good. Because you're all sucked into NBA.
Because I want the Rockets to not screw up.
Hey, guess what? The Grizzlies beat the Bulls, and we're almost locked into the playoffs with a very makeshift lineup, so...
Okay.
On today's show, Mississippi State defeated UT Martin on Tuesday. We'll talk about that. Mississippi State plays Florida.
Yeah?
And after we do that, I have a surprise thing that we're going to do.
Okay.
I'm not telling you.
And then we're going to do softball after your surprise?
Okay, if you want to.
I mean, yeah.
Here's a hint. It has nothing to do with Mississippi State sports.
Does it have to do with sports?
Somewhat. So let's go ahead and...
I'm concerned deeply.
Let's go ahead and talk about Mississippi State's 14-0 win over UT Martin. I'm still here.
You know, it's a little disappointing that the Bulldogs only scored 2 touchdowns. You'd think that... Even without Dak Prescott, we'd still score a little bit more than that.
You're not funny.
I know I'm not. I don't really care.
So, this is a game in which Connor Pilkington started and
only threw one inning.
And did nothing.
Yeah.
But we're pretty much, at this point, it's a guarantee that he's starting on Sunday.
Yeah, both Brian Haydad of Bulldog Sports Radio.
Brian Haydad.
Yeah, and the great minds here think that Pilkington... will be the Sunday starter.
Yes. So. Yeah, he pitched an inning, walked one, didn't strike out anyone, but he got the job done. Ryan Sear was the winning pitcher, and he barely did anything. 2 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. Keegan James came in, barely did anything. 2 innings, 2 hits, no strikeouts. Noah Hughes came in, barely did anything. All of these pitchers barely did anything.
Which is perfectly fine with me, and then we used Zach Houston as a closer.
Yes. Jacob Billingsley was really the only one who was probably the best performance, 1 inning, and struck out every single batter he faced.
I mean, Zach Houston struck out every batter he faced.
That's true.
2/3 of an inning.
But he didn't. But
Jared Padgett struck out every batter he faced one batter.
He faced one batter.
Yeah.
But long story short is... I'm glad this happened because we were playing a really crappy team, and if this hadn't have happened, I would be concerned.
And we have the entire bullpen for the Gators.
The
Gators. That's always good.
Yeah, hitting-wise, there were 2 performances that obviously stood out. Mangum P.I., Jake Mangum.
You're going to drop that bomb right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. That's a hint of what's to come on ForWhomTheCowbellTolls.com in the near future.
Yeah.
Mangum P.I. He went 4 for 4. 2 RBIs, 2 runs, got walked twice. Jack Kruger's 3 for 6. 4 RBIs, primarily because of a 3-run home run. And 1 run.
The top of the lineup did a lot of damage.
Yes.
Again, Hunter Stovall went 2 for 5. 2 hits, 2 RBIs.
Cole Gordon, the craziest person on the team, went 1 for 1 with an RBI.
And then, you know, Ryan Gridley had a note of...
Had a what?
had a
noticeable game.
It's noticeable. A noticeable difference because he didn't have a great performance, but still notable because he went 2 for 3, one RBI. So.
Yeah. Is that it? Like, that could legitimately be it.
Because Brent Rooker, 2 for 4. one hit. Wait, what?
Alexander made his first appearance in about, what, 5 or 6 games?
Yeah. Didn't do anything, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, we scored 7 on him in the, what, 5th inning?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a large text box I'm looking at here. The scoring summary for the 5th inning.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do my surprise thing after softball. It'll be the last thing we do.
Okay. It's still a pretty good attendance at this game. 7,000 showed up.
Really? Well, you know why. It was Star Wars night, obviously.
That and the weather was perfect.
Yeah, I went. While that was going on, I went to a 4th grade baseball game.
I went to see Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, I saw 4th graders play baseball.
That's cool.
My nephew's team won by 5.
That's good.
Yeah. He's actually probably the best player in the team. He's a good pitcher. He's the future. Uh-huh. He's the future Dakota Hudson. He's the next Dakota.
Let's start previewing the Gators.
Yeah, we won 14-0. Now we have to face Florida.
The best team in the nation. They have like a 26-27 game.
I got this. They are 28-3 on the year, 7-2 in conference. Some of their non-conference.
No, I was trying to say at home. They have like
27
leading.
They have won 27 straight at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are 20, as I mentioned earlier, they are 28-3 on the year, 7-2 in conference, tied for first in the SEC. Non-conference opponents include a 2 out of 3 series over Miami. 6-0 win over Florida State, a 2-1 win over Florida Atlantic, another win over Florida State. They are playing Florida State next Tuesday, the Tuesday after their game with us. So they are going to be playing Florida State 3 times in different parts of this year. They've already taken 2 of those games. Florida State is a top 10 team. That Miami team that they took 2 out of 3 against is the number 4 team in the country. They're good. They just swept Texas A&M.
Who is a top 5 team. The 2-1 game against Florida Atlantic, that's pretty impressive right there that Florida Atlantic only held them to only 2 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Going into a pitching duel there.
The worst kind of
Kentucky
game.
Got the best of them.
Yeah, and Kentucky's
not, you know,
Kentucky's
Florida is
a
not
good
great.
Team.
Yes, but what I'm saying is Florida is not okay, they're a great team, but they're not as great on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have much more confidence if this game was not in Gainesville. But this game is in Gainesville, and this series is in Gainesville, so this is not going to be fun. Missouri went to extra innings with them, which is pretty interesting.
Missouri's not bad. Missouri started off 0-6 in conference and then decided, but that was obviously because they faced Florida and Vanderbilt in their first 2 series, and then they just decided to take 2 of 3 against Arkansas.
Shellacked them.
Yes.
Florida does not have game notes up.
Nope. No, they don't. So I'm trying to find each of their starting pitching. Who pitches on the weekends normally?
I was pulling up their pregame notes from the A&M series.
Oh, aren't you special?
I am special.
Kirby Snead. Okay, great. Kirby Snead will more. He started. Or never mind, he just got the win. Who started?
I don't know.
Thank you. I want to know who started.
Let me pull up.
They're not showing who's... Okay.
No, these are... It's a weird setup.
I think this is Logan Shore.
I'm not a fan of this.
Logan Shore, is he?
Yes,
Logan Shore started on Friday against Texas A&M, so let's just assume he's going to start on Friday against Mississippi State.
has Alex Fado and then AJ Puke.
Puck. They all have 7 starts and 7 appearances, so I'd assume that is the rotation. Yeah. So let's start with Friday. Logan Shore has a 2.59 ERA, a perfect 5-0 record. He has pitched 41.2 innings. He has given up 31 hits, 12 runs, has a 49-8 strikeout-to-walk ratio.
That's very good.
Very.
Very quality.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
On Saturday, did you mention Fredo or Fado or however?
Fido, whatever.
He has a 2.53 ERA, once again a perfect record, this time 6-0. 42.2 innings pitched. He's given up 29 hits, 14 runs, has a 60-70 strikeout 60 to 7. Walkout.
60-7.
Sorry, 60, that would be, the, yeah. 60-7 strikeout to walk
That's
ratio.
That's absurd. And then that is simply absurd.
And then AJ Puck, 3.38 ERA, the worst record of the 3-1-2. He has pitched 29.1 innings, has given up 21 hits, 16 runs, has a 36-12 strikeout to walk ratio.
You know, Puck's record isn't great. His stat line's not phenomenal, but for any other team, that'd still be really good.
Mm-hmm.
For 75% of the teams in the nation, that would be really good.
Yeah.
But it just happens that we're playing the best team in the nation.
Looking at the bullpen, they're led by Kirby Snead, who has a 0.89 ERA, 3-0 record.
18 appearances?
Yes, 18 appearances. Has pitched 20.1 innings, has given up 16 hits, 4 runs, has an 18-7 strikeout to walk ratio.
Only 2 of those runs were earned. It's just worth noting.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Alexander, I don't know if you're going there next, but
he has a 1.31 ERA, 3-0 record, 20.2 innings pitched, given up 17 hits, 4 runs, is a 29-0 strikeout to walk ratio. He has given up 0 walks this year.
He also has 6 saves.
I think he could be a closer.
I would expect he's the closer. As a whole, they've got a phenomenal pitching staff.
And that is Sean Anderson, not Alexander.
Oops. Batting-wise, they're hitting .300 on the year.
Yes.
They have 209 hits. Am I reading that right? Or no, 209 runs, 310 hits.
So how many games have they played?
31.
31, how many runs once again?
209.
209 divided by 31. They average 6.7 runs per game.
That's not phenomenal. That's definitely manageable. They've played some great competition, but they've also played some nobodies.
So, could you expect this to be... I'll ask this question to you, and this is sort of a question that's been thrown around a lot this season for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
In this series, which do you think is more important, hitting...
Pitching.
Yeah, I agree.
Pitching.
Just, I agree.
We can hit with the best teams in the nation. We've proven that.
Yeah.
It's getting relief pitching, specifically... I don't think that starting pitching will have... Yeah, it's important. Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, you need 7-8 innings from Dakota Hudson. But, you know, as a whole, I think finding relief pitchers is the most important thing John Cohen has for the rest of this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to have the biggest impact on how far this team can go. They have hit 28 home runs on the year. How many have we got? 19? 20?
I believe 19.
Okay.
But the reason why we won the Ole Miss series and the Vanderbilt series was due to pitching.
And the Georgia series, largely.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, obviously Georgia doesn't really compare.
No. Okay,
in
I'm just saying the three... SEC series that we've won. You know, the Oregon series, they're not a great team. We won that hitting.
Yeah.
That one wasn't pitching. So
we need to pitch well. They're obviously going to pitch well because it stats wise, they have a good start. They have a really solid starting rotation. Mm-hmm. So this could be a very entertaining weekend for Ethan Lee.
Pitching duels are the best.
No, they're not.
You know, honestly, I think these two teams are built fairly similarly mm-hmm. when it comes to pitching staffs. I think Dakota Hudson's the best pitcher, arguably, in the nation. Right now, of these six, he's definitely the best of these six that we expect to pitch, we expect to start. But they definitely have, you know, in Logan Shore, an ace, in Alex Fado, a very good starter there. This isn't going to be easy for either team batting, or it shouldn't be. They're holding teams to a .214 batting average, and their opponents have only scored 101 runs on the year.
Okay.
They've only hit 220 hits, and they've given up 12 home runs, which is interesting, but just as a whole, you're not getting much contact against this team.
So now let's go ahead and I wanted to talk about what this weekend means for the remainder of the season for a little bit.
So do we want to look at the entire schedule?
Yes, and I have it pulled up.
I do too.
So, yeah. Mississippi State, as you know, or most of you know, or should know, is currently 6-3 in the SEC slate. Right now, as it stands, I think I think all state fans should be looking to hosting as sort of the end goal. Possibly a national seed, but right now, if you want to be truly reasonable, and you should probably be looking at hosting as the end goal.
Yeah.
In my opinion, to host, Mississippi State needs to get 17-18 conference wins. Let's say 17 will be the... Let's say we get 17, which would be a 17-13 conference record. That means we would have to go 11-10 for the remainder of the season. That is possible.
That's probably underachieving at this point. Yes. We've got series against... You know, after Florida, we've got A&M. We've got LSU.
And then we go on a stretch that's, you know, there. We have a 4-weekend stretch that could get, one or two of these teams could sneak up and take two. It's not likely, but there's a possibility among Alabama, Missouri, Auburn, and Arkansas. But that is a pretty good ending stretch for Mississippi State after the gauntlet that was Vanderbilt. I mean, Georgia's not bad, but they're not top caliber. But let's
Georgia's a mid-tier team like what we are going to face in Alabama through Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
So let's just say Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Florida, Texas A&M, LSU is as difficult of an opening stretch as you could possibly have for a team. And
it's still possible that we take two of those series mm-hmm. between Florida, A&M, and LSU.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Going 4-5 for these next 9 SEC games, in my opinion, would be a success.
I'm all for that, yeah. I would prefer 5-4, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that could be at the bottom. That is the minimum of a successful weekend. Because LSU is a team that Mississippi State could take 2 of 3 against because LSU is sort of going on a... They took 2 from Auburn, but they're still going on a bit of a downward spiral.
They're not great this year.
But still, that's in Baton Rouge, a place where State struggled recently. Yeah. Got swept back in 2014.
A&M's still a top 5 team.
Certainly. That'll be a very difficult weekend for us. So
it'll be an un-Super Bulldog weekend.
4-5 would put us, and in my opinion, the NCAA record will be set on Saturday. For Super Bulldog weekend.
Yes. Yes.
So that Easily. So a 4-5 going down for the next 9 games would put us at 10-8.
Yeah.
Going into that 4-weekend stretch where we should take all 4 of those series. Arkansas is probably the trickiest one of those.
So let's just say that we take 2 from all 4 of those teams.
Yeah.
We beat Troy. And then we Memphis. Beat Memphis.
Memphis isn't good. They were good. They were pretty good a year ago in 2014, but they're pretty bad this year. They played Arkansas today, and I believe they got blown out.
I think we're going to beat Louisiana Monroe.
We better hope so.
I'm just saying, let's say we win all the midweek games except maybe Ole Miss.
Well, according to an Ole Miss friend, they don't have great bullpen pitching or midweek pitching.
Oh, that'll be a slugfest.
So, but we could see. We'll have to dive.
We'll predict that later. But just, you know, assuming we win 3 of the 4 midweek games that we have remaining, mm-hmm. we take 2 from Arkansas, Auburn, Alabama, and LSU or Missouri. Crap, I can't.
Missouri, okay.
Almost dropped an F-bomb. Crap. Missouri, take 2 from Missouri. So that's what, 11-5?
Yeah.
Down the stretch there.
So what I'm saying is, would you say that one win against Florida, in my opinion it is, one win against Florida is a success?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's, I predict that
yeah,
we
I predict we're going to go 1-3.
1-3?
Or 1-2 with a win okay. on Friday.
Yeah, I'd feel better about it if it was a 4-game series. Honestly, I would. But
I wouldn't. But I'll say one out of 3 with a win on Friday.
1 out of 3. Yeah, we'll stick with that.
Okay. So, it's time for softball time with Ethan. Ethan, take
Wait,
it away.
Was that your surprise?
No.
Just looking ahead?
No.
No? Oh.
I'm doing this after the softball.
It's been a long week.
Softball time with Ethan.
Softball time with Ethan. Yay. Okay, so.
Make it snappy.
Make it snappy?
Yeah.
Well, I would argue here, but
we're
the Rockets
not good
blank.
This year, so make it snappy.
State just had their game against South Alabama rained out, so they couldn't find a way to win there. But they also couldn't lose, so that's good. So they're about to head to Tuscaloosa, coming off a series loss against Ole Miss, coming off a stretch where they went. It was not good. We're not going to talk about that record there. They're struggling. They're not good right now. The youth of the team is showing, and the only thing that is going right for the team right now is Alexis Silkwood finally looks 100%. Other than that, the rest of the pitching staff is starting to show their youth a little bit, going up against some of the better teams in the nation. So, you know, finding a way to take one from Alabama, one against Louisiana Tech on the road next Wednesday, going 2-for-2 in that stretch, 2 of 4. And then returning home against LSU for Super Bulldog weekend. They're going to have to find something there. But as of right now, the team is just struggling, kind of lumping along. It's still safe to say that they'll be in the tournament just because Arkansas is 0-9 in conference right now. Arkansas is the epitome of bad softball. And South Carolina is also showing some struggles despite being a good team. So State likely looking like an 11 seed if they can have an April surge, which they have in the past. March is, historically, we've talked about this before. March is not a good month for Van Sudeman. Typically, April is statistically her second best month of the season. And then May is not good. But trying to find a way to take series from LSU, Alabama, Florida, Mizzou, and Kentucky, it's going to be tricky. So everybody buckle up because it's going to be very interesting to see how Van Studeman does down the stretch here. So that's the softball second with Ethan. Hashtag yay. So, what's the surprise?
So, Ethan, I need you to talk about your life while I set up the surprise.
Why didn't you set up the surprise while I...
I was working on it.
Oh, God, I'm concerned.
Talk about your life.
Well, James Harden in power rankings by Chris Broussard is the 8th best player in the NBA, so that's kind of cool. Can you guess who's number 1?
Steph Curry.
Can you guess who's number 2?
Russell Westbrook.
No, LeBron James.
Russell Westbrook's 3.
Yes. Who's 4?
Kevin Durant.
No. He plays on the Spurs.
Tony Parker. Oh, no. Kawhi.
Ooh.
No. No.
Kawhi Leonard.
That's what I said.
The guy that nobody knows.
Yeah, I was saying that for quickly. I was saying that.
And then Durant is five. So.
Okay. Who's six? Yeah.
Chris Paul.
Who's seven?
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Who's eight?
I discussed eight. James Harden.
Who's nine?
Damian Lillard.
Who's 69?
It does not show that.
Okay, I think I have it.
Yay.
So, everyone.
I'm deeply concerned.
It's the best week of the year. It's Masters Week.
Oh, God. No.
I hope there's good. Augusta National. 18 holes. 72 over 4 days. Azaleas. Flowers. The state of Georgia. Pimento.
One, I've never met someone from Georgia that I've ever liked.
Pimento cheese sandwiches.
Two, golf is not a sport.
Green jackets.
It's an expensive activity for elitist snobs.
Here we go, the best part of the song, coming up right here.
Three, golf courses destroy natural habitats.
Beautiful trees. Phil
that
Mickelson.
They tear down more often than not.
Defending champion Jordan Spieth. World number one Jason Day. Par 3 contest. Gary Player hitting a hole in one.
This is terrible.
All right, Ethan. So it is Masters Week, and now we are going to start a new tradition on the show where you predict the Masters winner. If you don't have a name in mind,
Were you inspired by the Katie Nolan video that I sent to you?
Yes.
Where she picked the winner?
So, if you don't have a certain name in mind, I have a list of every single player in the tournament, and I will click a just randomize, and it will show a name, and whoever shows up will be your winner.
Give me five names. Give me five random names.
You want me to give you the top five on this randomized list?
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Randomized. Number one, Rafael Cabrera Bello. Number two, Jin Chang. Number three, Darren Clark. Number four, Jim Furyk. Number five, Adam Scott. One of these players is a really good pick.
Adam Scott's the good pick.
Correct.
Isn't he the guy from Parks and Rec?
No.
There's
an
Adam Scott.
That's a different Adam Scott. Adam
Scott.
I'm
going to go with Adam Scott because the actor is a person that I appreciate.
That's a fantastic pick. Adam Scott is a 2013 champion of the event. He's playing really good golf. He's won, I believe, twice this year already, and they've only played 4 months into the season, so Adam Scott is a very solid pick. He's playing really good golf. So,
he's a 35-year-old from Adelaide, Australia.
Australia, that's correct.
Yeah.
The first ever Australian to win the Masters.
That's cool.
So I'm going to pick another Australian, Jason Day, to win the tournament. He's currently the world number one. Let's see who was dead last on this list. J.B. Holmes was dead last on your list. Are there any certain names you would like to know that showed out on the list?
James Harden.
James
and
Harden
Dwight Howard.
They don't play golf. They're not in the Masters field.
You know who does play golf? Charles Barkley.
Oh, God, yeah. He does play golf.
He's awful at it, but he plays it.
It's true.
So, yeah.
So, that's our Masters preview. We'll be back in June to give our U.S. Open preview. So, we have questions, apparently.
Kind of. We kind of have questions.
So, from our first questions from our friend J-Dog Bunt Murphy.
He's not our friend.
J-Dog5513. Can we get...
He's not our friend.
Can we get anyone better to do the podcast? I have an answer to this question.
The answer is no, because...
No, listen. Shh.
Okay.
Yes, we can, but will we? No.
Who from For Whom the Cowbell Tolls is better than us?
Crystal Method.
Okay, yes, I would listen to a Crystal Method podcast 24 hours out of the day.
Yeah, so we are second and third. I'm obviously second.
I don't care.
And we also have a question from... Corbin never asked a question. That's just a statement.
Although he did try to ask us questions at 12:45, I think it was.
Right. Our last show, he asked, when are you recording...
He sent me a... No,
he asked, when are you recording? And it was 12:45 in the morning. I was asleep for an hour.
I was up working on homework, I think.
Yeah, and, shut up. You should be working on our piece.
The piece doesn't pay my tuition through
the piece will give us money someday.
No. Oh, I'll finish the piece.
I didn't even realize this, that Sangmoon Bae, who is a golfer, who's actually a very good golfer, is not playing due to military service in his home country of South Korea.
Good take on Mr. Kim. Yeah. Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. The Rockets are up 22-18 at the end of the first quarter.
And by the way, Ethan, Jim Furyk, who is one of the one person in your top five, isn't even going to play.
That's cool.
Because of her surgery.
Good to know. That's the end of this show.
So that'll do it for this episode of the Podcast Hills. Yeah. On Tuesday, we'll talk about Mississippi State's series Rockets against Florida. We'll talk about the Masters, because the Masters will be over by Tuesday. Ethan will talk about softball, and we'll preview the upcoming game, a midweek game baseball against Memphis. But until then, thank you all for listening. Bye-bye, everybody, and remember to be...
Blah, 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 blah.
Hashtag break quality.